This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Lionel Vatinet was 16 years old when his mother sent him to apprentice at a local bakery in France. And after a single day there and baking his first brioche, that was it. Lionel's love for bread was born. Lionel went on to travel across Europe baking bread and eventually achieving the esteemed title of Master Baker. Today, Lionel has planted himself in Cary, North Carolina. He owns La Farm Bakery, and he's just published his first book, A Passion for Bread, Lessons from a Master Bread Baker, and he joins us now. Lionel Vatinet, welcome back to The State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So tell us about this first experience that you had, your first experience with bread. Baking it, I guess, not eating it.
Of course. my first experience was not to touch many things, but to smell, to really watching out. You know, it was early morning, something, you know, when you're 16, you might not like, but did enjoy a lot. And to be around the oven also, and to have to touch the dough was very central at some point, you know, and still. And all that together make me like it from the first day.
Had you liked it? We talked about your mother deciding this was a good idea for you. Did you think it was a good idea? Had you always wanted to bake bread?
Didn't know at this point of time. Definitely, she was great to understand what his son want to know or not, you know, and send me to different trade. And this one, you know, definitely stick to me and still.
Did she bake bread at home?
Not at all.
Yeah.
But we have this every day on our table, and this is probably the connection.
So you tell us about this guild. To be a master baker is not a designation that you apply to yourself. You have to really work at it. And tell us how it works over there.
It's a 5 to 10 years apprenticeship. It's traveling, learning your trade, spirituality, and living in community. So this is the name is Les Compagnons du Devoir.
Spirituality, tell us more.
We use the same symbols as a mason, and it's been passed around since the Temple of Solomon been built by carpenter and stonemaker, and the baker joined the guild in the 17th century.
Wow. And so for years, how many years?
I did this for 7, and it's approximately 5 to 10 years, you know, all around.
What, you know, I can hear listeners now thinking, saying, what can you possibly, what can take 7 years?
Seven, it might be not enough, you know, to understand everything you do, but it gives you some good basic to really learn the premise of your trade and to really be able to pass around and to teach again.
How much of it is just developing the kind of tactile skill to know when you've got the dough at the right place? Is that a very important part? And does that take a long time to learn, or is that not the time-consuming part?
It's to understand mainly the weather also and also the touch, you know, are going to come along. It's going to be sticky as you start with, but is not it, you know, after that you definitely need to develop your skill with, you know, I won't say the weather again, you know, is what makes to adjust and to get a good loaf of bread every day.
Right, so humidity, kind of important temperature, all those things.
Correct, yes.
And your first bread was a brioche, or at least your first bread on the journey here.
Indeed.
Tell us about it.
They make you, at the guild at least, you know, they ask you to mix, you know, by hand. And it was a 45-minute exercise, and so you sweat a little bit or a lot, you know, and you are not alone. It's also different apprentices in the room, and it's been a lot of fun, you know, to see how you can develop it. But you develop really your textural, you know, and your feeling pretty fast. It's what at La Farm we do also. When you want to be at the mixer, you need to mix by hand, and after that you can accomplish it.
Were you happy with it, the first one?
Didn't know better, but yeah, I don't remember much. But
you were sweating; it was nervous. It was tough. There were a lot of people watching. So, what brought you to the United States?
To teach, and I start in Washington D.C. With Marvelous Market, and ready to bring what I know the most was bread, obviously, and artisanal bread and fermentation. So I start in D.C. and my journey. Last now for 22 years.
Wow. And then what brought you to Cary?
What brought me to Cary? My wife. or definitely the triangle and the North Carolina in a sense of, you know, to bring some good bread, you know, to this area.
It's interesting. You opened La Farm in Cary in 1999, right?
That's correct.
That was a little bit before, just a sort of ahead of the wave of reputation for this area as a really foodie place. What was it like then, and were people ready for artisanal bread when you opened it up?
I won't say yes, most of it, you know, we still educate a lot people of bread is an everyday thing where when you're sleeping, we're baking. So it's about crust, it's about fermentation. And we, at this point of time, was, you know, to make sure people test it and understand, you know, what we do, and we continue to do this all along. So it's in a continuous education to our customer, for sure.
You talked about fermentation. I think that's one of the most fascinating elements of bread baking to me. It's alive. This bread is alive, or this dough is alive when you're working with it.
Indeed, the essence of baking is fermentation. It's not to, you don't want to test the yeast. You want to test the fermentation. And for our home bakers and professional, you know, you have a few tools you need to have is a balance of thermometers. And from that, you're going to be able to control a lot your fermentation.
A balance?
A scale.
Just a scale. Okay. So you're going to do everything by weight, and then a thermometer. Along the way, are you testing?
The water controlling your final dough temperature, and from that give you a good start, you know, to your process along the way.
What are the mistakes? What are the most common mistakes that home bread bakers make?
We are going to forget the salt. Ooh. We are going to overproofing it and using too high of a temperature. So these are probably the most common.
This is the South. When you got here, of course, biscuits are big, and they're not easy to make. Not the
it's
good
true.
Ones. Yeah. Were you a biscuit maker before you got here?
Never.
Wow.
And but, you know, I let the people with experience to make it, because it's definitely a trade over there, and my specialty is yeast, so everybody needs to have his own trade, I won't say.
So what are your most popular breads at the store?
It's the one on the cover of Passion for Bread. It's our La Farm bread. It's a 5-pound bowl. You know, it's a mild sourdough, chewy inside, crusty outside. So these are the one of the most popular.
We were talking just a minute ago about a local industry, textiles, which is still going strong, as they say on public radio all the time. You get your flour from North Carolina, right?
Indeed, and the project started 4 years ago, and we are lucky now to have flour grown in Pinehurst area or different parts of the state, and is milled in Asheville from Carolina ground, and been so fortunate and lucky to have everything regional, and also to have a miller I can talk to, and about, you know, the quality of the flour, and also to visit the farmer who are going to grow the wheat for us.
Well, how important is the wheat and where it's grown? We sort of think about this in terms of wine. We're kind of particular about where you grow the grapes. What about flour for bread?
North Carolina known for a soft wheat, for biscuit and to feed animal feeding. For us bakers, we need an hard wheat. So we're able to, plus, you know, it's very humid, not known for hard wheat, but we're able to find farmers who were willing to put this in their rotation. And now we did some testing for this past 4 years, and it works very well, just to adjust, you know, also how we are going to utilize it after. It's very, the season change, you know, and the farmer don't control the weather either, so we can, you know, adapt and adjust to it. But yes, it's possible.
There might be a reason we don't grow hard wheat here, and that is that it's not easy to grow, or that it's not, the conditions aren't right. Is that the case, or do you just have to adjust your practices?
I think, you know, we can do it. You know, it's definitely the Midwest wheat is more well known, and the climate is probably more adequate, but we can. We don't have to go so far, and we can make a very good, sustainable, you know, surrounding, you know, in the region, you know, and we also is what is stone ground, so this is a plus also. So
yeah, and you talked about all the advantages of you know, we talk about locally grown, locally produced products, whether it's textiles or food. It's not just the growing and the retailing, but then the milling and all the processing in between, and your intimate knowledge of the individuals who produce this every step of the way. So that must be gratifying for you to have that kind of control of the process. Tell us about the book, A Passion for Bread. Why did you make this book?
Addressed to home baker. I want really to people to be successful at home, to make as good as La Farm can provide, you know, for a consumer. And if you have a time in front of you, get the book, and it's over 450 pictures, very detailed, with all the secret, you know, if is any, you know, to make a good bread.
My favorite in here, as I was thumbing through this, was the potato and creme fraiche focaccia. Now, in some ways, you know, that's where I should start, right? Because it doesn't really have to rise. I mean, it's going to have potatoes, so we don't have to worry too much about the density, right?
So this is a topping. So now is what you put on the top, uh-huh. You know, of the focaccia. And definitely the advantage of focaccia is no shaping. It's a very long fermentation, and what you add on the top, and this one in particular, is pretty hardy and moist, you know, from the creme fraiche, yes.
Now, in France, of course, people, we think, deeply appreciate their bread. How about here? What did you find about American attitudes toward bread when you got here?
I won't say they like France, we eat a lot of baguette. Here, we know we like, you know, a bread with ingredients inside, you know, with like a cheese bread with a parmesan and asiago. And you need to test and to see. So definitely the percentage of those ingredients are much higher. And so we like, you know, we like a chocolate bread, you know, so we do a white chocolate. And each bite you are going to have, you know, the taste of it, or cinnamon, raisin, pecan, currant. And we, of course, make some baguettes, you know, who are made, you know, for to push, you know, your bread, you know, in your plate, you know, but it's not as popular than it can be in France. And and really the big education is from the crust, you know, or to understand. Consumer need to understand the bread is an everyday thing, or her sourdough is good for 2 or 3 days, but after that, you know, is you're going to make some French toast or from strata. you reutilize it. It's not something you can keep for a week or
well months. I understand you were fairly shocked to see that Americans would buy a loaf of bread and stick it in the refrigerator for the next 10 days and keep eating it.
I did make some search. I didn't know about it. So the quest was, you know, to change her mind.
My grandmother, who is Italian, would just be sure. I mean, you would have bread on the table, and then I would start to put it away, and she would just look at me in utter horror. That's no good tomorrow. Throw them away. Throw them away, she'd say. There's, bread is just a one-day deal.
The yeasted one, you know, definitely for the day. The natural starter, you know, carefully get. The acidity make it preserve it naturally, so still good for at least 3 days.
Now, here's the thing. You learn to adapt to your market. Folks love your La Farm Bakery, and it's a very popular place. They like what you make. And so you've learned to adjust to this taste. If your folks came from France and sampled your French, you know, your baguette, what would they think?
They never go back to France.
You think they'd stay in Kerry, do you think?
I see what we say to a German guys who come and want to try a rye, you know, and we make a rye, so, or a different other specialty we have from wherever you come from. It's about the knowledge of the baker, and so La Farm is about, you know, my travel I did around the world, and to also here in the United States, we have all the nationality, and to adapt to what we have, and when the base is strong, after that, you can definitely... people don't have to travel or bring this from their own country, you know, because they can find this over there.
Are you still learning? Do you take in new recipes?
Learning every single day is, you know, is the beauty of baking, four ingredients, but every day is a new challenge for sure.
All right. Do you still like eating bread after all these years?
Look at me. You can see me. Yes, I love to eat bread, yes.
So you're eating it, you're enjoying making it. You've got all these recipes, and... you get up very early in the morning to make this stuff.
Indeed. Yeah, when you're sleeping, we're baking, so we start as early as midnight.
What are some of your favorite recipes?
La Farm, you know, definitely. This 5-pounders and also multigrain. You know, I like, you know, more and more fibers. You know, I have 2 young children, so I think it's time to give them some good, strong basic, you know, to what fiber is about. 100% whole wheat, who are fully North Carolinian. So these are probably my three most favorite right now.
So what, you know, there's this real push now toward gluten-free, and I know for some people it's a real, it's a necessity, a medical necessity. I'm wondering if it also seems to be something of a fad and a badge for a larger group of people. What are you making of this gluten-free movement?
For us, we cannot do anything gluten-free because our surrounding is full of flour. Now, definitely feel for them, and is definitely we. What I'm.
Well, I'm thinking too. There are baked goods. It's not as hard to make baked goods. You know, cakes and cupcakes and that sort of thing. Because they, in effect, you don't want the gluten. You'd like them to be lighter and fluffier. But for bread, can you really make?
For bread, we need protein, and the protein as the gluten when we add the moisture in. Are very crucial to make, the expansion of the bread. Definitely difficult, without that. But there's been some replacement for them, so they can still enjoy, like with the rice flour, for example. So, but it's not going to get, the same result. So,
well, Lionel, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Lionel Vatinet, master baker, owner of La Farme Bakery in Kerry, and author of A Passion for Bread, Lessons from a Master Baker. He will talk about his book Friday at Whole Foods in Kerry on December 6th, and you can learn more by going to our website, stateofthings.org. Thanks for listening to our program. It is produced by Nicole Campbell, Alex Granados, Laura Lee, Sean Wen. Robin Copley is the technical director, Brent Wolf, the news director, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.